You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
This is MLB.com Extras, Seattle Mariners edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. I am joined by Greg Johns. And actually, Greg, as we record this, the Mariners are getting ready to wrap up a series here in Cleveland, where I am, and you're not. You stiffed us this week, Greg.
Yeah, I did. I stayed home in Seattle and covered the draft, catching up with the team in Houston tomorrow. So looking forward to getting back and seeing they're playing a little better on the road here. So good to see.
Absolutely. Yeah, they played well on the road in general, around 500 on the road, and struggled at home. Obviously, the big struggle before they got to Cleveland was the offense. They scored three or less in 13 straight games, a franchise record, before breaking out in a big way against Trevor Bauer and the Indians on Wednesday night. But, Greg, what have you made of the offense this season in general? Obviously, it hasn't been as improved as hoped. In fact, I believe they're on pace to score significantly fewer runs than last year, about 70 fewer if the season we're continuing at this pace. I know they don't expect it to, but what's your take on the offense this year?
Yeah, it's disappointing. I mean, they got everything they could possibly hope for from Nelson Cruz and didn't get anything to go with that for the first 5-6 weeks of the season. That was unfortunate because now they've kind of got their pitching squared away, but they're not getting enough runs to really support that. And went 2-9 on their last homestand, as you mentioned, and a lot of that was just not scoring the runs because their pitching hasn't been very good. The starting pitching has really been squared away despite a couple critical injuries to James Paxton and Sasha Iwakuma. So they've done what you expect with the Seattle club on the pitching end and just not gotten that uplift from the offense. And now Cruz has been fallen off a little bit, cooled off a little bit, and missed last a couple games with some back spasms. So, you know, they got to get some other guys hitting. They did that last night, broke out with 9 runs, and it's certainly a key for them. They keep saying it's there. They keep saying, hey, we got what we need. We got guys here that have been there and done that, and they expect it to come around, but they certainly need to see it on the field.
Absolutely. And with Cruz, I mean, he was bound to cool off at some point, and I'm sure he'll get going to some degree at some point, especially once he gets through this back issue. But yeah, in a large sense, a lot of those first 18 home runs were wasted. And the big key here, obviously, is Robinson Cano. I had the chance to catch up with him this week here in Cleveland. And everybody knows that the statistics are not what you expect from that caliber of player. However, I do think there's some hope beyond the surface level numbers and something we talked about. He's had a lot of hard hit balls going back to the beginning of May. The exit velocity off his bat is very much in line with some of the elite names in the game, Andrew McCutchen and Mike Trout. So it's not as if, you know, while the slugging hasn't been there in his time with the Mariners, it's not like this guy is falling off a cliff and his bat speed has disappeared and he's not driving the ball. It seems like he has hit into some hard luck this year and obviously not hitting as frequently as the Mariners would like. But what's your take on Cano's season here to this point, Greg?
Yeah, I mean, to me, he's got to start going the other way more. I think that's where he really lived a lot last year. Pitching, taking the ball where he's pitched. You know, just going in the left field with it. I think he maybe got a little too pull happy. You know, and who knows? You know, maybe sitting there with Nelson Cruz hitting home run after home run, he felt like he had to keep up a little bit. I don't know what goes through guys' heads. He's too good a hitter to be doing what he's done. There's been some signs. I think he just needs to get back to sitting back on the ball a little bit, driving it the other way, and getting back to being Robinson Cano and using the whole field. And it's not that he's completely forgotten that. I just think he's gotten away from it some. There was a stretch there, you know, he has hit some balls hard, but he also had a stretch of games where he was just rolling the ball over to first and second base pretty frequently. So, you know, he has not looked like Robinson Cano. And he's too good a hitter. He's too much in his prime to, you know, he's not just going to disappear on him. I have no doubt in my mind he's going to figure it out and get back to being a pretty darn good hitter and a big piece of that lineup. But they need it soon, you know. And as we all know, baseball players go through this sometimes. Best players in the world. And as Cano told me a week or two ago, he says, I remind myself I'm human, you know. And he is. He is no different than any other flesh and blood guy that steps up there and has some struggles sometimes. He's a guy that does know his swing very well. I expect he'll get that back, and be the force they need. And as you mentioned, you know, they did waste some of that those home runs. I was looking at a pretty interesting statistic, Logan Morrison with the 16-game hitting streak, and you know, a guy you think's helping out, and you look at that 16-game hitting streak, he scored 2 runs. So I mean, it just kind of goes to show you they're just not getting production up and down the lineup to take advantage of the guys that are hitting. You know, and it is a lot of it's Cano, but a lot of it's, you know, going to be 1 through 9 to get this thing squared away.
Yeah, Cano, Lloyd McClendon had a great line on Cano. He said this is like watching Michael Jordan not able to hit a jump shot. He did have a couple encouraging moments the first game in Cleveland, 2 doubles, and had gone 20 games, unbelievably, without a double before that point. Maybe that's a sign of I know he's working on some stuff mechanically, so maybe that's a sign of him coming out of that. But you mentioned Logan Morrison. Him and Austin Jackson have really given some traction to the top of the order. As you said, it doesn't help much when they're on base and nobody's driving them in, but at least they're starting to get some stability in those first two spots.
Yeah, and they get that. And Kyle Seager's had a nice season. You know, he hasn't put up huge numbers, but certainly kind of the steady Seager that you expect. And a grand slam yesterday. He's a guy who, you know, I think he's close to being where he wants to be. Cruz, obviously, in that spot. You get Cano going, and then you get that pretty good 2-3-4 or 3-4-5, depending on how they want to go with him. You know, Trumbo, they haven't gotten much out of yet, and the guy they expect will hit, you know, and certainly help lengthen that lineup out a little bit more. And, you know, they keep saying it. We've got the pieces. Seth Smith, certainly a professional hitter. Brad Miller has shown signs of being a pretty good offensive force when he's going. And, you know, those are guys that can help you. It should be a pretty good lineup. You know, that's kind of what they built on. Austin Jackson up at the top and, you know, base doing some stuff. He has shown some signs of that in the last couple of weeks. So, you know, you keep saying it. They don't have to be world beaters offensively. They just have to be good enough to help out that pitching staff. And if they do that, that's a pretty good formula. But again, the thing with them, it just seems like everything has not clicked at the same time. And it's kind of when they've gotten starting rotation figured out and the hitting's doing a little better than the bullpen seems to have blipped. You know, Rodney went through a tough stretch and still is. They're trying to get him squared away. So, you know, you kind of got to get it all put together here. They got a pretty good stretch coming up. They're playing Houston 6 for the next 10 games and a chance to make up some ground on them and get things going. So there's plenty of time, but you certainly got to start seeing it. You can't keep saying plenty of time too far into, you know, July. You start to get a little worried. So they got to get it going here in June and get certainly keep in contention and put themselves in a good position going down the stretch.
Well, if they are going to climb back into it, you have to imagine Taijuan Walker would be a big part of that. I had the chance to watch him in Cleveland here on Wednesday night, and Indians scattered a lot of hits off him, but he bared down and got the outs when he needed. And in general, his last few starts have been way more encouraging than what we'd seen previously. And we know when this guy, with that electric high fastball that kind of jumps on hitters, when he has that working for him, he's really dangerous. Do you get the sense that the Walker's starting to round into form, Greg?
No question. His last 3 starts have been far more what we expected. And, you know, I go back and spring training is spring training, but he was electric in the spring, really everything you wanted to see out of the kid. And then he just got into the regular season, got a little haywire, and yeah, maybe he was overthrown. You know, hard to know. He's still 22. He's still figuring things out, and he's going to have some games. He just can't have a long stretch of games like he had coming out of the gate. He looks comfortable now, and he is a guy with big time stuff. You know, mid 90s fastball, and if he can get the off speed stuff working with that, he's going to be pretty darn tough. And Paxton as well, before he went on the DL with a strained tendon in his finger, was pitching at the top of his game. So those are the young guys they counted on building around this season, and they've had some other guys fill in. Ronis Elias has been excellent filling in for Yukuma, and then brought up Mike Montgomery. He's kind of been a revelation his first 2 starts for them. Done a nice job filling in for Paxton. So they've pieced it together. Jay Happ having a very good season, the veteran they added, and Felix is Felix. So you just kind of keep rolling that rotation out there and doing what you do. Everybody always says, hey, you start with pitching, and you know, they've got that rotation squared away, and that's a good place to start. So now, like we say, just fill in enough to make that work.
Yeah, get the pitching, and then hopefully score more than 3 runs. As we said earlier, Greg, you stiffed us. You didn't come to Cleveland. That's all LeBron James is talking about is where's Greg Johns, but it's for a good reason. You're covering the draft. Give me a roundup for the draft for the Mariners. Obviously, they didn't have a first-round pick because of Nelly Cruz signing. I believe they didn't go till, what, 60 overall? How do they feel about their overall haul despite that difficulty of not having a first-round pick?
They went a little pretty heavy on pitching, and people always say, well, why go heavy on pitching with a team that needs offense? Well, you got to look 3, 4, 5 years down the road, and they're not drafting for today; they're drafting for down the road. And their organization has gotten a little thin in the minors with pitching. They promoted a lot of guys and made some trades, given up some pretty good power arms to try to do some things here in the last year or two. So they definitely leaned a little more toward young arms, drafted a bunch of high school arms that they're very, very high on. But these are 18-year-old kids, and they're going to be 3, 4, or 5 years down the road. So they feel real good about it. Their first pick, Nick Niedert, a high school kid out of Georgia, and that was kind of where they started and kept going, drafted a couple of college arms as well. And some position players, Braden Bishop, a local kid from the University of Washington that they really like as a center fielder. So they picked up some, considering where they were in the draft, they feel pretty good about it. And, of course, you always want to see how that plays out down the road. But they like what they did with where they were in the draft.
All right. There you have it. I want to thank Greg Johns for joining us, talking about all things Mariners this week. And thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Seattle Mariners edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.